Welcome back to the Breakthrough Podcast. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. Over there is the co-host, Leon Robinson, the fourth. Hey, bro, what's going on?
Hey, man, I can't call it another day, bro. Glad to be back with you and our guest today.
All right, good deal. Before we get to our special guest, just some quick updates. So the Breakthrough Podcast is Discovering New Pathways, brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency out of Washington, D.C. We have a number of programming involved with, we call it the RIDE program, Returning Citizens Inspired to Develop Entrepreneurial Ventures. So we have, of course, this podcast. We have entrepreneurship boot camps that we do. We have a continuing education and meetups, you know, so individuals can meet one another and do business with one another as well. We have an opportunity to be in a magazine called the Returning Citizens Magazine. We have an annual conference that's coming up. And I forgot, we have a specialized training where a couple of men and women are learning about the rehab trade. So that's who we are in a nutshell. And we can be found at RIDE Small Biz. And of course, on our website at edacmorgan.com. That's E-D-A-C Morgan.com. All right. With that said, we're going to bring in our special guest, Troy Bradley. What's going on, bro? How are you? You on mute, bro. I know you're driving and all. Drive safely.
I'm fine, brother, man. You know, life to me right now, I'm good.
Okay, good deal. All right, so let's start off with this. We always ask this question, you know, and this show is all about, you know, the stories that we have formerly incarcerated individuals who are entrepreneurs now. We want to hear their entrepreneurial journey. So first of all, how long have you been home? And then when you came home, you know, what were your plans?
Been home since 2009. I served 9 years on 15 years. Prior to that 15 year sentence, you know, I was in and out of juvie hall, group homes, and things like that. I never lasted 6 months on the street since age of 12, all the way up until that sentence. During that time of my sentence, through conversations with my mom and people like that, you know, where they talk about, you know, you're going to have to start building yourself a social security. You're going to have to start, you know, you're wasting a lot of time. You have to start thinking about old age, and that set in. So I came home with a plan, man. You know, like I said, now it's been since 2009. I knew I had to get away from, you know, the area I was raised in, the area that I always went back to. Mm-hmm. So I packed up and I drove to Texas. I searched for a job there first. At the time I came into some money, so I had some money saved up, and I stayed at the Candlewood Suites for 6 months until I got a place down there. I worked at Toys R Us down there. I was a light jockey at nighttime. That's a crazy story. I lied to the man and said, knew what I was doing and went on YouTube and figure out how to work the lights and wind up telling the man the truth. I ain't never did this before. And he hired me for being honest and actually trained me on it. So I stayed in Texas for 3 years. From there, I drove to California. Started out in the Bay Area, Venetia, California, Santa Rosa, California, all the way down to Marina Del Rey, Los Angeles, California. And my journey started from there. I met a lot of people. It was different. It was a lot of brotherhood. It was different from Baltimore. It was different. It was just different. I saw different than what I grew up with. And that put something in me. Then I had my two little girls at the age of 35. And that was it right there. Mm-hmm. My father passed when I was 5. I experienced what it did to my mom was a lady, so she didn't bring another man into the house. So I was about 17. So I watched her struggle. You know, I've never seen another man until I was like literally a grown man. Mm. And that's why I had the sisters that I had today, you know, those decent girls that you know, I learn from, and they call me every day. But, you know, I watched my mom struggle. So when I had my children, that was it for me. Along my journey, it was already it, but that was the seal. Mm-hmm. And that's when my life took another turn.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that, bro. Really appreciate it.
So thank you for sharing, bro. Testimony is real, bro. Definitely.
Absolutely. And before we get into the name of your business and what you do, you know, what led you to your entrepreneurial venture?
So, you know, I prior to me being arrested, I've never had a job a day in my life. You know, all I knew was drugs and, you know, I'm always ashamed to say that, you know, robbing and stealing and, you know, things like that. I just never lived a decent life. So here I am in this whole nother state trying to find my way. And I started getting into other things, meeting people. I tried acting. I tried, you know, all kinds of stuff. I would sign up for these meetups on my emails where I would meet up with strange people where we talk about life and things like that. And that's what, you know, I say I learned a lot on that journey. And I met some people that when I was down in Los Angeles, down on Venice Beach, I met a guy that had a shed, you know, on Venice Beach is like a boardwalk and this shed. Mm-hmm. And he was like selling t-shirts and stuff like that. We would like go to San Francisco and, you know, do shows and sell t-shirts and print out Marcus Garvey sayings. And any culture, we would print their culture out and just sell sayings on the shirt, Marcus Garvey, fight for LP, you know, things like that. And I kind of got into it like that, learning how to work the machines, learning how to do the screen printing and things like that, and learning different things from these Californians and Texans and things like that. And when I came back to Baltimore, which was for a free CDL class, that's how I wound up back here and landed this job. That's, we can get into that story later, but to answer your question, I got into that when I was on that journey. So I come to Baltimore and, you know, I'm here for a free CDL class and I'm going back. You know, once I got that class, I needed a job while I was here. Mm-hmm. So while I'm here, I signed up for Safe Streets. And, you know, during my prison time, I educated myself. So, you know, I was very computer literate. You know, I had a lot of skill to me, working in libraries, pulling case laws and things like that. So I had a lot of administrative skills that led me in Safe Streets, first coming to Violence Interrupted. But they discovered things about me to say, he belongs in this position, which is a violence prevention coordinator, where till this day I handle a $400,000 budget where I get down to dust dollars every year, 60 cent, 20 cent, things like that. Coordinate events. Speak at speaking engagements. I spoke in front of 3 graduating police cadet classes. I spoke at Annapolis, Owens Mills Toastmaster, to, you know, sharpen my skills and things like that. So, you know, so I'm here now because now this job is like elevating me to City Hall. And so I'm like, well, I wasn't doing this good back then. So I got my experience. I'm going to stay here. My family is here. And it seems like, you know, I'm going somewhere. It's going to pay for me to go to school, get a business degree. You know, my record has been expunged. I can now get a degree and go work into government, which is a success story for me coming from where I come from. And that's the, you know, direction I'm going into now. But, you know, I have a reputation here in Baltimore. And a guy asks someone, I'm looking for somebody to help me with my clothing line, man, and this and that. And they say, I got somebody for you. You know, he was doing it out in here, you know, California. He has a lot that he can bring to this business of yours. So the guy met me, immediately fell in love with me, man. He's one of my mentors now. And we took once I got involved into that, man, you know, I'm very creative when it comes to designing. Because of these Californians and these Texans that show me the game, where people from Baltimore just won't show you anything. But, you know, yeah. I go out on these people, they show me everything. And I brought those skills to his business where now I actually run everything. You know, he's running 2 clubs now Now I got the business, John. We just made the front of Vital Magazine. We just was awarded, because of the clothes. Right now, we seek every celebrity engagement. With if you follow the page, you'll see we done got next to everybody and getting these clothes out there. And that's what I brought to you. I got that from being out there with them. I know what you got to do to put the brand out there, and that's to get out there, get where you're supposed to be. So now I took all of my connections and I get in every comedy factory where I get backstage and I make them do the Bomb City Challenge. And, you know, I give them the shirt. We get to all the show. These are connections that I had while I can get into these shows. Whenever these people come in town, I get right backstage with them, get the clothes to them. We go down to Atlanta, get the, we may pay Jack the Thriller to wear the clothes. We got Bomb City on the line. You know, he got it on. So these are the things that I learned from being out of state that I brought back to Baltimore. And that's what I was able to bring to Bomb City, which landed me a partnership. Now, you know, running everything about Bomb City and only been involved in it maybe 2 years. You know, I've been involved with Bomb City. But prior to that, I had my own, you know, thing going on. But, you know, my main thing right now is not just Bomb City. I wanted to kind of bring two things to the podcast. My main success right now is the program of Say Streets. Mm-hmm. You know, I come up in a community where it was nicknamed Baby Afghanistan. Mm. I just did a documentary called
Troy, hold up before you go into that. So, you know, let's unpack some stuff. So give out the website. Do you have a website for Bomb City so people can see that?
That's bombcitygear.com.
Uh-huh. And Instagram, do you have an IG account?
Bomb City_gear_.
Bomb City underscore gear underscore?
Yes.
Okay. I'm about to follow you now.
All right. And I missed it. Bomb City underscore gear underscore, right?
All right.
Okay, good. And then
website bombcitygear.com.
All right. Oh, yeah, I see it.
All right, so we're going to come back to Bomb City, but let's talk about Safe Streets too. So for those who are not familiar with Safe Street, what is Safe Street? And then you could talk about your initiative that you were just about to talk about.
Well, Safe Streets is a violence prevention program geared towards reducing shootings and homicides. Mm-hmm. And their way of attacking shooting homicide, they view violence as a disease. And this disease has been, you know, affecting our people for many years. So their way of curing that disease is taking a person like me, giving them the cure, which is through trainings and through working through the program and placing that individual out there in the pandemic or epidemic to cure the rest. And the way they do that is they take a guy like me where you hear that, you know, I rob people, you know, I kidnap people, and I did all these things to gain what we call, sadly, street credibility, rapport with high risk. High risk is someone that can potentially shoot someone or be shot, you know, and at-risk people, you know, people that's just in the community that's around these type of things. So they place us in these areas where we have rapport. So, for example, if I'm in my talk on violence interrupting, and I see an argument at a dice game, my job is to identify, detect the situation, and interrupt. And how do you do that? You do that with a shooting reward. If you was in my community, you say some niggas, a dude look at you, say, "Man, get the hell up off me. Who's this clown, man? Man, get up off me, man." But me, I'm coming. They know who I am. They know what I'm about or used to be about, and they know who I'm connected to. So say I can't stop him, he won't listen to me. I find out what gang he's in. And through my prison connections, through my street connections, I'll go to somebody that's over top now. I got a situation, man, where a young man, you know what I mean? Who is he? This through my street, but who is he? I'll come out there, he'll come out there and let that this is my man, you have to stop. And he has an obligation to his organization to do what he say. That's just dealing with a gang member. Now let's deal with the people that I know, their sons and stuff. I have a rapport with, though, and I give you an example. We had a guy that shot a young man.
Don't mention no names, man. Don't mention no names, Troy.
No, of course, of course. We don't do that.
Yeah.
He shot a young man, and I knew his father.
Yeah.
And we knew that if we didn't get to the father, this would take us back, because this is going to turn into going a back and forth thing. So once we found the father, we explained to him what's going on. We got to stop. His words to us was, I'm moving right now. And as soon as I get finished moving, I'm going to get disrespectful. So our response is, what can we do to stop it, yo? Because we can't have it. Like, we asking you for a favor, yo. What can we do to stop it? He said, you will have to get them to me. That was our task. We got them all in one spot. This is the stuff that they don't see. They just see the events and stuff. These are the things that we do on a regular basis.
Yeah.
What we did was got them two together, and they came into an agreement. And that agreement was what their agreement was. But this is one of many situations that we do, and that is violence interruption. That's how we reduce shootings and homicides. It's more than one way to skin a cat, though. We don't just do it through conflict mediation. We do it through monthly meetings where we have high risk in there. We do it through events where we got these man up events. I wish I can show you the footage where we balled the church and we got the pastor involved. We had guys in there and stuff like that. There's many different things that we do to keep the relationship and the rapport of our community, where Cherry Hill now has went 3 years without a homicide. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in a row. But we done it 3 years where we not had a homicide in 1 year. And right now we are conflict free. There's no up the hill against downhill. There's no blood against a crip. Right now, everyone is solid with each other. And here's the catch. I work with a guy that shot me 3 times. I also work with my supervisor where me and him tried to kill each other on numerous occasions. And in our heyday. So when we walk down the street and we do this work, we epitomize the message, because they look at us and say, damn, wasn't they beef from before? So everybody on our team once shared the conflict. If you can't mediate your own conflict, how are you going to mediate someone else? You have to clean out your backyard first. And that's what we all made out to do, to clean out our backyards. The guy that I did 9 years for, I can pick up my phone and call him right now. He'll say, what's up, good brother? Now, this man I robbed and did all kinds of, but I can call him on my phone right now. Why? Through stripping off every piece of gangster that I thought I had on me, humbling myself and finding some way to get to him and reaching my hand out and say, I apologize, man.
Forgiveness.
You know, I was a young, stupid young person, and he accepted that. And right now, like we like this. I just told you, I worked with a guy that shot me three times. Check the documentary out, Cherry Hill Humanized, right on Panacea. I'm gonna send that to your phone so y'all can check that out. But this is the success of Safe Streets and what we do. In this program, they take someone such as myself that once was the problem to go out there with a skill, a right tackle skill, to go out there and change the behavior and thinking norms of those young men that's out there today. And that's what I pride myself on. It's bigger than becoming a part of Bomb City and bringing Bomb City to a place where, you know, Bomb City... That's what's big for me, saving lives.
Absolutely.
So that's my most biggest success for me, is that I can go to sleep knowing that I saved a life. But not only that, I go to sleep, man, in peace today. You know, I don't chase the bag, because I know somewhere along the line, when you have to shake the hands with the devil when you chase the bag. So my riches is... Yeah. good health, a job, whether it's my own business or working for somebody else, and family. That is all I need. I'm rich. I'm rich.
Amen to that, bro.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I pride myself on being a man that doesn't go outside this relationship. I live so peaceful, man, that I can come in the house. I'm so proud of myself. I mean, they come like flies, man. And yeah. to know that I can tell my daughter to be a certain way and know that her daddy is not behind her back cheating on her mom. Or I can tell her to not go to school and know that her daddy is not behind her back selling drugs. That's what I'm proud of, man. Forget the business. I'm proud of myself and where I came from and what I used to be. And I'm so proud of myself, man. I'm so proud of myself, man. It just makes me feel so good.
Definitely proud of you, bro. Much respect, man. All you're doing, you're serving. You're leading by example. You know, you're really showing what you can be regardless of what you've gone through, man. And I do have a quick question for you, because you mentioned something that really hit home for me in regards to, and our podcast is called The Breakthrough Podcast, Discovering New Pathways. So could you kind of elaborate a little bit on what your breakthrough was? And from what you shared with us today, it was you actually being exposed to something different than what you grew up around and going to Texas and going to California. Can you kind of discuss or share a little bit with our listeners about the importance of exposing ourselves to different things and seeing different things?
My breakthrough was finally, you know, I was always afraid of what's on the other side because I never had a skill. I never had a job. So, you know, this letting go of that fear and taking that jump. And the breakthrough for me was not only discovering new things, you know, it was for me, and I don't want to say cliche, it was my children, man. It was the fact that, you know, I just didn't want to leave them behind and murder or going to jail. I knew that once I had them, it was no longer about me anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about if I had one pair of tennis shoes. I didn't care if I had to catch the bus. You know, all I was thinking about is I gotta build something for my children. My mother today, she gets $1,500 from my father. My father died 40 years ago, yo. And I'm saying to myself, the way he's still providing in his grave.
Right.
And that was the breakthrough. The breakthrough for me, to put it all in a nutshell, is how are you gonna support yourself in old age? How are you going to support yourself when it's that time? Because we all have injuries. Where I come from, those things are going to run down on me as time. Those gunshot wounds, those broken hips, those things are going to start coming down on me. And, you know, it's going to come a time where the doctor going to say, you can't work no more. So these was the breakthroughs for me. How my life going to be at 60 and 70? And that scared me, man. It scared me to the point where I say, I have to start working on myself right now. I'm only still in my 30s. I can still retire in my 60s or my early 70s, but I got to start now. I have to start now. And that was the breakthrough for me. I don't want to be in no one's Social Security line, no one's food stamp. I'm saying that any help is wrong. I don't want to be on disability. I want to retire. I want to, you know, retire and have, if you know, I tell my people, I say, you know, I want to work for somebody and build a Social Security for myself, retire. And if I have a business venture on the side that I want to take on, I'll take that on, but I'm not going to jump outside of security. If I had the skill and know how to do all those things to myself, I only can be honest with myself. I don't know nothing about that lane. So I'm going to work and build these things for myself and not get trapped by what I see on Instagram. And selling cars ain't gonna bring me no retirement and no and unless I know how to sell cars for real, get a dealership, get some money. I don't know how to do all that stuff. So right now I gotta put some security around my So selling clothes ain't gonna bring me no goddamn retirement and no social security. So I have to secure myself. And while I'm working with some security around myself and I figure those things out, then maybe I'll jump the fence and go over here and work for myself. But until I learn how to do that and not follow everybody on Instagram and what they doing and all that stuff, I'm going to place some security around myself and go get my ass a job.
Stability, bro. Stability. Absolutely. I definitely get it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I say to people, you know, yeah, it's good if everybody starts a business, but we know everybody's not going to start a business. However, if individuals have what you have, Troy, you know, you have a business, but you also work for somebody and you're making the transferable skills, that entrepreneurial mindset. And that's what I'll constantly talk about people. Hey, you know, develop some skills as a entrepreneur, then you can go do whatever you want, whether mm-hmm. it's owning your own yep. business or you're working for someone else. So, I mean, you're doing both of them. So really,
use that job to fund your business ventures, your entrepreneurial endeavors. You know, like you said, sharpen your skill set, get that experience, build some relationships, gain resources. Like you said, preparation. You know, people just be jumping out there without a life jacket. Like, you got to have something that's going to sustain you, you know. So I definitely agree with you on that.
So right now, you know, they offered to send me to school because it's in the budget. It's in the budget line item with the school tuition. And I've qualified for that. So, you know, the plan is, which is in the making. You know, I chose Loyola, you know, to go to school.
Congratulations.
Congratulations too. But, you know, we got Morgan over there, Troy.
I chose Loyola because, you know, my sister-in-law, she went there for the business degree. She worked, you know, on government now, closing, you know, big deals and things like that. And I just like, and we're Toastmaster partners, so I just chose Loyola to go get the business degree.
I know the dean over there at School of Business, so when you get in there, let me know.
That's right. But having that business degree will give me the insight that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
And it'll give me that business mindset, where though now I can decide to, because everybody think because they got a clothing line where they just printing stuff on there or this, but they don't really know the real business side of it, like the real mm-hmm. benefits of being a business person. Like most business white people that has these businesses, they know how to put away, they know how to use certain things to their advantage, that most companies give them the insurance and the credits and stuff that we don't know how to do. So until I learn that game, I'm not just going to go and sell cars for 20 years and waste 20 years of building something for myself. I'm going to work with somebody for 20 years. I ain't just talking about no rinky dink job. You know, right now I make $70,000. You know, so I'm going to work with somebody, you know, have someone matching my 401 until I figure that out. And if I figure that out and master that and I got it, I'll go over to that side. But until then, I need someone matching my 401. I need life insurance through Navy Federal, life insurance through my car insurance, life insurance through my job. I need all of that until I figure this out. I'm not wasting 10 years selling no damn t-shirts.
Absolutely.
Right. You got to protect and provide for your family, bro. Totally get that, bro.
Yeah, and building that legacy as well. So Troy, we up against the time, man. So you gave out the website to Bomb City. So give it out again, and then also give out Safe Streets if there's a website there.
Well, they have 10 different sites, so I guess you could just pull up Safe Streets Baltimore.
Okay, that's cool. And
it'll just pull up the sites. That is the Safe Street. They have Instagram that say Streets Baltimore, where all 10 sites post on the Instagram page. But it's 10 different sites in Baltimore.
So we'll put it on the credits. We'll put the website on the credits.
That's right. But Bomb City, the acronym is Brilliant Open Minds Become Conscious Individuals to You.
Okay. And is there an email that you want people, if people are interested in reaching out to you, or do you want them just to hit you up on Instagram? How you want people to reach out to you?
Yeah, they can hit me up at t.bradley78@yahoo.com.
All right. Well, good deal, man, brother. We really appreciate you for coming on.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you for coming on today, man.
And I just want to give another one message before I leave.
Come on, bro.
This Instagram, this social media, is and this P-Valley TV shows and these things. Like, we can't listen to one song that's out where they ain't killed five people, messed with 16 wives, popped all kinds of joy. When I was coming up, we had self-destruction. We had Fight the Power. We had U and I-T-Y. We had hip-hop was uplifting. Mm-hmm. Now, what they did was they broke that up, that community up, and they poured drugs into our community. During the times of Frank Lucas, during the times, you know, when we got them people coming around, and now the demand is not as there as it was for the supply now. So now what they're doing is they're pulling guns into our community. And now murder and violence has become a culture. And social media and Instagram is ruining marriages, is ruining relationships, is ruining households, because it is the perception of everything that goes against God's way of life. You already see on that, it's behind cleavage, nasty things, guns. It is no good for a relationship. Wives are comparing other people's relationships and looking down on their hardworking husband. I ain't speaking up for no dog ass nigga. I'm speaking up for a good brother. They coming home and they looking down on these good men, and they going outside the relationship. And this world is, man, destroyed by social media and the TV, man. And y'all need to keep y'all children off of it. Y'all, these wives, if you have any good thing about you, don't pay that stuff no mind. It is deceiving. These men on there are deceiving. These women on there are deceiving. It is nothing good about it. Stay in tune with God. Follow his instructions. No matter how bored you think they are, they laughed at Noah. You know, we are living in the mystery Babylon, no different from Babylon.
Absolutely. And we're going to have to get you.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you back, Troy.
We're going to have a part two.
I want y'all to be aware of it. Yeah. And stay off of Instagram.
Stay off.
Be the wives, your husbands, and raise your families. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. We'll be reaching out to you, man.
Bro.
Okay.
All right, y'all. This is a wrap. Really appreciate you all for tuning in. Now go out and discover new pathways. Until then, I'm Omar Muhammad. Over there is Leon Robinson, the great state of fifth, the fourth. Continue to improve and progress. Peace.
Let's get after it.
This is Mixed Media Production.